I've been running into a lot of folks lately who are struggling to practice self-care. You know, basic things like doing the dishes, taking a shower, staying away from doom scrolling. And as much as they want to, there just seems to be a force field that deflects them from following through. In today's post, we're going to take a look at some reasons why, despite common sense and the desire to practice self-care, we still feel incapable of doing so. And then we'll learn a few ways for you to get back to taking good care of yourself. Welcome to the blogcast, Unlocking Wellness. I'm Crystal McLean, curator of Crystal McLean Creative, an online resource that empowers people to become confident, proactive innovators for the care of their mind, body, and mother love and soul. And if you enjoy my content and would like a more personal experience, I'd like to invite you to check out The Dream Team, an ever-growing community of folks who are becoming self-empowered badasses. Memberships through Patreon start at just $3 a month. You can find out more about all of the awesome perks at crystalmcleancreative.com. All right, let's get to it. So I think most of us have been here, yeah? We totally grasp the concept of self-care. We understand the importance of doing things like getting enough rest, going for a walk, maybe eating a vegetable instead of another bag of chips. But turning these thoughts into actions feels impossible. So what's going on here? Well, I wish there were one simple answer, but the reality is there may be several variables that keep you from following through with your self-care, whatever self-care means to you in this moment. But before we get into all that, I want to tell you something that might blow your mind. You are already practicing self-care. I know. Crazy, but true. So something we tend to forget is that there's a wide self-care spectrum where on one end, you've got the folks who are waking up early, getting in some exercise, planning their day, eating balanced meals, and taking time to kick up their feet and maybe even spend time with their hobbies and loved ones. Hell, they might even manage to clean their house. Let's try not to hate these people. But on the other end of the spectrum, we've got the folks who are curled up fetal style in the same pajamas they've worn for the past 2 months, occasionally interrupting their binging to play Candy Crush. This may or may not have been me at one time. Anyway, the truth is, all of this is self-care. Yep. You avoiding the world and numbing your feelings is your brain's backwards way of trying to take care of your ass, whether that's what you think you should be doing or not. But it's not your fault. It's your brain's fault. So in a nutshell, the primal animal part of your brain wants to keep you safe. And sometimes that means avoiding doing something that feels challenging, even if that something is really good for you. Even if it's something that you typically enjoy. How does that even work? Well, in order to understand this crazy logic, let's talk about the primal animal part of the brain, also known as the limbic system. The limbic system is incapable of rational thinking and decision making. That all happens in something called the frontal lobe. What happens in the limbic system are reactions responsible for survival. This is where your fight or flight response lives. And these reactions are based on sensory input. A burning building, a swarm of bees, a forgotten Lego under your foot. The frontal lobe, where your rational part of the brain lives, isn't capable of reacting fast enough to contemplate what to do in these circumstances. But your limbic system is. But again, the limbic system is reacting on instinct and not logic. So you may not react in ways you necessarily want to. Like, if you step on a Lego, your rational brain may not want to swear and get angry in front of the kid who left it there. But your limbic system doesn't give a shit and reacts immediately to the pain in your foot. Does that make sense? I hope so. Let's keep that bit of information in your pocket for now. The next pothole along the road to self-care is created by the dirty teamwork of the dynamic duo negative coping skills, and neuroplasticity. Let's start with neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is what makes our brains capable of learning stuff. Every single thing you consciously do is a learned behavior. And the more you practice the thing, the better and more efficient you become at doing it, like walking, reading, and navigating your phone. In fact, you got so good at doing these things that you just end up doing them without even really thinking about them, right? Okay, so neuroplasticity, the more you practice an action, behavior, or thought, the deeper you ingrain it into your brain, hence turning it into something as habitual as breathing. All right, now let's talk about negative coping skills. So there's a lot about life that really sucks, especially right now. It's challenging, it's unpredictable, and it's full of bad news and shitty intentions. And newsflash, your brain's not a fan of that. So in order for the brain to deal with all of the scary, icky stuff in the world so we can do things like, I don't know, go to work in the morning, we learn different types of coping skills. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I did not learn about things like deep breathing and journaling. I didn't know about the mental and emotional benefits of exercise. Nah, after a hard day, I like to hit a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. I learned real quick that food made my brain happy. And as I got older, I learned that things like cigarettes and alcohol and weed did a pretty good job at distracting me from my unwanted feelings as well. And of course, I'm like any other person and can be easily swayed into spending hours in front of a screen. And trust me when I say, these were not my only coping tools. I'm really good at numbing or distracting myself from feeling. But I think most of us are. Anyway, all of these mentioned coping skills have been labeled as negative. But I want to challenge your brain. What makes them negative? Why do we see them as bad? Sure, I'm not going to advocate that anyone smokes cigarettes. They're awful. But what about the rest of the stuff? You know, unless you're an alcoholic or have diabetes or something. Honestly, what's wrong with having a cocktail on a Friday night? Why wouldn't we enjoy a few episodes of our favorite show? Is having a bowl of ice cream really that bad? Personally, like I said, unless there's a medical or addiction reason why you really shouldn't, I see no problem with taking a respite from the world with some of these things once in a while. It's not necessarily the tools that are the problem, as much as it is our inability to use them in moderation. It's when we tap into something so much that it becomes harmful. When we become codependent on these things, or they keep us from tending to the other things in life that need our attention, that's when they become negative coping tools. In fact, there's a lot of, quote, healthy things that we can do in excess that can be just as toxic. That said, I am in no way condoning the use of substances. I am, however, saying you should give yourself a pass on the shame and judgment should you be telling yourself that you're a bad person if you're having a cupcake or a glass of wine. All right, let's do a quick recap. Your brain reacts faster than it can make rational decisions. The more you practice a thought, action, or behavior, the more habitual it becomes. Coping skills aren't necessarily good or bad. It's whether or not we become codependent on them or allow them to monopolize our time and resources. All right, I'll try to keep the rest of this as short as possible, but honestly, this is such a big topic that it's going to be hard to do. So thanks for hanging in there. Okay. I want to lay down a few reality checks, and bear with me because they're going to feel contradictory. Reality check number one, you're confusing self-care with self-soothing. So an easy way to tell whether or not you're engaging in self-soothing or practicing self-care is the moment when you're done doing the thing. If it's self-care, you'll feel better. You'll feel empowered, relieved, refreshed, accomplished, relaxed, motivated. But if it's self-soothing, you'll only feel good in the moment. Right? Shit. So yeah, curling up in a blanket with a book all day is delicious. Until you get a wave of awareness reminding you that you haven't gotten your prescriptions filled or paid your bills or taken out the trash in a while. So then sometimes there's shame and dread and overwhelm, and so you turn the page and read another chapter. That's self-soothing. Whereas self-care might look like a few hours with the book, then remembering your responsibilities, fulfilling them because you care about your total well-being and not just your comfort levels, and then being proud of yourself because now you can really enjoy the rest of that book. Maybe even with a donut. I don't know. Choose your own adventure. All right, reality check number two. We need to allow ourselves to feel all the feelings, even the gross ones. But we cannot feel all of our feelings all of the time. Let's be honest. We're living in some sketchy times, at least here in the US, where there's COVID. Our rights to body autonomy are being threatened. There's a disturbing level of gun violence. Costs are rising for food, housing, and fuel. And we haven't even addressed the concerns in our personal lives yet. This is a lot to take on day after day. We're not designed to withstand this amount of stress, and it's causing us severe anxiety and depression. So it's no wonder why we're so quick to reach for our coping tools and self-soothe. It's okay to tap out now and then. I just want to make sure that you don't put yourself so far behind the eight ball that you end up causing even more unnecessary stress in your life. Reality check number three. There may be a lot we can't control, but there's also a lot that we can. We're just choosing not to. So I believe that if we dig deep enough, we know the truth. We know what we need to do in order to practice self-care. But instead, we throw out all sorts of convincing evidence why we can't. Hello, negativity bias. So this is another one of those features of the brain that, if left unattended, can kind of ruin your life. Have you ever watched Saturday Night Live, the Debbie Downer skits? That's kind of what I'm talking about. Apparently, because our stupid brains are built for survival, that means we're designed to instinctually look for the problems and not necessarily the solutions. That's something we have to make a conscious effort to do. But not only does negativity bias cause us to notice the problems more easily, but it also means negative experiences have a bigger emotional impact on our psyche than positive experiences do. Dumb, right? Anyway, it's real easy when we're stressed and tired and generally unmotivated to find excuses to not do the self-care things, because just about anything can be an obstacle getting in our way. All right. What are you going to do with this information? Great question. I really want to get into all that this week, but I just don't have the time. I'm so sorry. The truth is, I am a real person with real responsibilities and real self-care needs, and I'm going to have to come back to this next time. Duh. So if you want to continue on with this theme, you can either follow along with the Unlocking Wellness podcast wherever you like to listen, or you can sign up for my newsletter and I'll send you a direct link. Or if you want to dive in even further, you can join the Dream Team and get bonus content and join our group discussions on all of these topics. Again, Dream Team memberships start at just $3 a month, and you get a bunch of other perks as well, like an exclusive app I made just for members. It's really cool. I'll leave links to all the things below in the show notes, or you can just visit me at crystalmcleancreative.com. Anyway, I promise, next time we'll learn what we can do with all of this information so self-care can stop feeling so damn hard. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here. I wish you well, and I will see you soon.